Whenever we get sick, our mind starts racing. We try to figure out why. We try to discover the reason for the sickness. We review our past sin. We attempt to rationalize and explain the reason for the sickness. We assume there must be an explanation for the sickness. It cannot be for nothing. The mind cannot imagine that God might have a good reason for the sickness. Sometimes there are more than one reason, and we cannot even come up with one. This morning in our text, we are going to see a man who got sick. His family, his sisters could not comprehend why he was sick. Their brother loved God, and God loved their brother. What went wrong? Today we will learn that nothing needs to go wrong for someone to get sick. Today we will see the motive for sickness. So please turn with me to John chapter 11, verse 1, as we continue where we stopped last week. As mentioned, John 11 has four parts. We see four things there. We see the sickness of Lazarus in the first 16 verses. We see the sorrow over Lazarus in verses 17 to 37. We see the saving of Lazarus in verses 38 to 44. And the squabble over Lazarus, verses 45 to 57. Today we'll take the first two parts. John continues the study, the story of the life of Jesus, and he says here in verse 1, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters, they sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him.' These things he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.' Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.'" So here we have the story of the sickness of Lazarus. Obviously, his sickness was very serious. He died from it. Lazarus lived in a little village of Bethany, about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. Bethany was also known as the home of Mary and Martha, his two sisters. John makes a note in verse 2. that Mary, the sister of Lazarus, is the same Mary who anointed the Lord Jesus with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her and her sister Martha sent a message to Jesus that Lazarus, their brother, was sick, in verse 3. Somehow the sister knew exactly where Jesus was. They appealed to the love that Jesus had for their brother as the argument why he should come and help. When Jesus read the message, he did not drop everything. He did not tell the disciples to pack and go. He did not organize a prayer meeting to pray for Lazarus. He simply said that the sickness was not unto death, in verse 4. But Lazarus died. It's easy to find fault with the Bible. Jesus did not lie. He knew that death would not be the final outcome of this story. The motive for his sickness was the glory of God. So John clarifies in verse 5 that Jesus loved the family of three, Lazarus and his two sisters. Still, upon hearing that Lazarus was sick, Jesus stayed there two more days. On the third day, he told his disciples that it was time to go to Judea again. Verse 7. But they reminded him of the danger. The Jews were trying to kill him. Verse 8. And Jesus replied that there are only 12 hours of daylight in which a man can work and a man can walk without stumbling. In those 12 hours, he can see by the light of this world, which is the sun. Therefore, a man must work while he has opportunity. A man must finish his work before he dies. Even though there was danger in Judea, Jesus had work there to do, work that had to be done while he was still on earth. In verse 11, Jesus used two specific expressions. He called Lazarus his friend. All his true disciples are his friends. There is a covenant of friendship between Christ and his true disciples that we saw in chapter 8, verse 31. And number two, he called death sleep. It is good to call death by such expression because it helps make it less frightening and less dreadful to us. However, in the New Testament, sleep is never applied to the soul or the spirit, only to the body. There is no teaching in the scripture that at the time of death, the soul is in a state of sleep. The Bible tells us that the believer's soul goes to be with Christ, which is far better. We do not know which of the disciples said that Lazarus will get well, in verse 12. Obviously, they had not understood the Lord's reference to sleep in verse 13. They concluded that if Lazarus was able to sleep, well, the crisis was over. He will get well. It is possible that the disciples were fearful for their safety. Maybe they said he will get well as an excuse because they did not really want to go. It was going to be dangerous there. Jesus had to tell them plainly that Lazarus was dead, in verse 14. And He was not glad that Lazarus had died, but he was glad that he was not there in Bethany at that time. Why not? Had he been there, Lazarus would not have died. There is no record in the New Testament that a person ever died in the presence of the Lord. He was glad because the disciples would see a greater miracle than a healing or prevention of death. They would see a man raised from the dead. This way their faith would be strengthened. That's why Jesus said he was glad for their sake that he had not been there, in verse 15. When he added that you may believe, he was not implying that the disciples were heathen or had not believed in him. Of course they had, but the miracle they were about to see at Bethany would greatly strengthen their faith. Therefore, he urged them to go to Lazarus. I was told there is a pessimist in every crowd. There was one in that crowd, Thomas. He reasoned that if the Lord Jesus went into that area, he would be killed by the Jews, and if they went with Jesus, he believed that they would be killed also. Verse 16. If we go there, we are toast. So in a spirit of pessimism, that's a big word, pessimism and gloom, he urged them to accompany Jesus and let's go and die with him. With him, Jesus, not him, Lazarus. Thomas was ready to die for Jesus, and so were the others. But in the end, when Jesus was arrested, they all deserted and fled in Mark 14, 15. They were not that ready to die with him. It's easy to say. Then on the other hand, optimists, they see an example of great courage in Thomas, the doubter, being willing to go in spite of the danger. Then at verse 17, we get to the second part, the sorrow over Lazarus. In this section, we see several individuals sorrowing over Lazarus. So John goes on and he says in verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. The mention that Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days in verse 17 is proof that he was really dead. Lazarus must have died shortly after the message, the messenger with the message left to see Jesus. It was a day's journey from Bethany to where Jesus was, another day's journey back, plus Jesus stayed 2 more days there. That explained the 4 days that Lazarus was in the grave. The nearness of Bethany to Jerusalem, only 2 miles in verse 18, made it possibly for many Jews to join the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them. They were the first to sorrow over the death of Lazarus. Little did they know that in a short time, their comfort would be unnecessary, and this house of mourning will be turned into a house of great joy. The next one to sorrow over Lazarus was Martha, verse 20. Do you recall the sisters? One was a warrior serving tables. The other was a worshiper sitting at the feet of Jesus. Which one was Martha? The warrior. As soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to go and meet him. She was worrying. The meeting took place just outside of the village. We are not told why Mary remained in the house. Maybe she had not heard the report that Jesus was arriving. Maybe she was too paralyzed by grief. Or maybe she was in a time of prayer. Martha believed that Jesus could have prevented Lazarus from dying, in verse 21. Her faith was imperfect. She thought that Jesus could only do this if he had been there in person. She did not realize that Jesus can heal even from a far distance. Often in times of sorrow, we talk like Martha. We think that if such or such had happened, a quicker trip to the hospital, a new treatment, a medication had been administered sooner, then our loved one would not have died. We can be just like her. But all these things are in the hands of God. God is in control. Nothing happens without his permission. Again, we see her faith in verse 22. She did not know how the Lord Jesus was going to help, but she believed that somehow he would. She had confidence that God would grant his request and that he would bring good out of this tragedy. Jesus made the shocking announcement that Lazarus will rise again in verse 23. Martha agreed that he will rise from the dead someday, but she had no thought that it could happen that very day. She understood that the resurrection of the dead happens in the last day. Verse 24. The Lord corrected her and reminded her that he is the resurrection. He is the life. The power of resurrection and the power of life were in his hand. He could do it right there and then. He who believes in him will live even though he may die. Whoever lives in him and believes in him, both action, Jesus said, will never die. Verse 26. Notice that it involves two things. live in him, believe in him. It is not one or the other. Has to be both in order to never die. Don't forget the first part, which is the hardest. Whoever lives in me and believes in me will never die. Then he asked Martha if she believed that. And she said, yes, Lord, I believe. What about you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the same power that can resurrect a dead body can resurrect a dead heart? Can resurrect a dead marriage? Can resurrect a dead ministry? Yes, he can. After that, she went away. And then she called Mary, her sister, verse 28. And as soon as she heard, Mary came quickly to Jesus. The third person to sorrow over Lazarus we see here was Mary, the worshiper. John continues and he says in verse 30, now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came there where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Martha did not do that. Mary fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Jesus was still at the same place where Martha had met him. And Mary rushed out of the house to go and meet him. And those in the house also got up and they followed her, thinking she was going to the tomb. Verse 31. And she fell down at the Lord's feet and also voiced her regret that Jesus had not been there. Had he been there, in her opinion, her brother would not have died. Verse 32. We can tell what the sister had been talking about at home for several days after the death of their brother. They both had the same opinion that if Jesus had come right away when they called him, their brothers would not have died. And seeing Mary and her friends who had come with her weeping caused the Lord Jesus to groan in his spirit and be troubled. He was thinking of all the sadness, the suffering, and death that had come into the world as a result of men's sin. And that caused him grief. Jesus knew exactly where Lazarus had been buried. But he asked the question in order to encourage their faith. In verse 34. With deep sorrow, they led the Lord to the grave. And when they arrived there, Jesus wept. Verse 35 is the shortest verse in the English Bible. It is the best verse for scripture memorization. That's the first one I memorized. The fact that Jesus wept is an evidence of his true humanity. He shed real tears of grief when he witnessed the terrible effects of sin on the human race. The fact that Jesus wept in the presence of death shows that it is not improper for Christians to weep when their loved ones are taken. However, Christians do not sorrow as those who have no hope, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We sorrow for our short separation, but we know that we will be reunited again. Unbelievers sorrow for their eternal loss. They have no hope of reunion like we have. The Jews saw in the tears of Jesus an evidence, a proof of his love for Lazarus. Like the two sisters, they also wondered why he who had opened the eyes of so many people could not have kept Lazarus from dying, in verse 37. Obviously, Jesus ignored the comment. He did not try to explain the plan of God to most of these unbelievers. As we continue and conclude this story next week, we will see that God indeed had a plan that no one suspected. So we'll continue next week. When Lazarus got sick, his two sisters immediately panicked. They sent for Jesus to come and heal their brother. But Jesus did not drop everything and come right away as they wanted, and their dear brother died. Their minds were racing. They could not understand why the Lord who loved their brother did not come. Likewise, we do not understand when we get sick or a loved one gets sick. Our mind starts racing. We try to figure out why. We try to discover the reason for the sickness. We review past sins. We wonder which thing we have done is responsible for this sickness. We cannot imagine that God might have a good reason for the sickness. Looking back here at the story of Lazarus, we see that, like Job, Lazarus had not done anything wrong. The reason for his sickness was not some sin that he had committed. In his story, we see a fivefold motive for sickness. And the first one is the opportunity to encourage others. In verse 23, Jesus encouraged Martha. He reassured her that her brother will live again. Likewise, you have the opportunity to encourage others and reassure them to trust the Lord when they are sick. Sickness gives you an opportunity to encourage others. Number two, we see in verse 25, sickness gives you the opportunity to teach others. Jesus had the opportunity to teach Martha about himself. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And likewise, you have the opportunity to teach others about Jesus, about the plan of God when someone gets sick. Number three is in verse 27, the opportunity to learn and grow in faith. Martha learned from the Lord and her faith grew. She acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God. And likewise, you have the opportunity to learn from those sharing with you when you are sick. Number four, the opportunity to pray for others. Next week in verse 41, we will see that Jesus prayed for the people standing by the tomb of Lazarus. And likewise, you have the opportunity to pray for others as they go through some sickness or they lose a loved one. It's a great opportunity to pray for people. And then number 5 is in verse 4, and repeated again next week in verse 40, the opportunity to see the glory of God. Twice Jesus said that they will see the glory of God. And as we continue next week, you will see Lazarus walking out of the grave. The family and the friends will see the glory of God. And likewise, you have the opportunity to see the hand of God, the glory of God, the power of God. So trust and wait patiently for the Lord when you go through some sickness. Today we learn that nothing needs to go wrong in order for someone to get sick. God has a plan. He has a motive for the sickness. We don't know it, we may not know it, but His plan gives us opportunities to do things when someone goes through a sickness. So today we see the motive for sickness. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the story of this man, Lazarus, who had died. And we see that somehow you had a motive for it. You had a reason that the people would see the glory of God. And I pray, Father, that when we go through sickness or where our friends or family member get sick, that we would wait patiently for you, that we would see the glory of God. We would see the hand of God. We would see the power of God. Help us, Lord, to not be so quick to come up with conclusion, not be so quick to look for reason and justification for the sickness. You are in control, O Lord. May we just trust you and rest in you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the story this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Old Testament, a man named Job lost 10 kids on one day. Lost everything he had. Everything was stolen. He got boils on his body. He was in terrible shape. When his friend heard the news, they came to see him. And for 7 days, they were the greatest friends he could have. They sat there with him and did not say one word. Ministry of presence. Just being there with the one who is struggling is the best thing you can do for someone who is sick. But their minds were racing for that week sitting there. This guy must be a sinner. He must have done terrible things. And they tried to justify it and come up with a reason why their friend was sitting in ashes. He had boils all over him and lost everything. And they gave him a hard time and they drilled him and they questioned him. There must be pride in your life. Examine yourself. There's got to be sin. And there was not, Job had not done anything wrong. God had a plan. And I'm glad that God finally rebuked those suckers who were wrong, who were drilling this poor man. And God restored Job, everything he had, double everything he had. God had a plan that they would see the glory of God, the power of God. So we're the same. When we hear of someone being in trouble, sickness or cancer or whatever, do not allow your mind to start running and explaining why. Oh, I knew the way you live, you would end up this way. Man, I saw the writing on the walls. No, you did not see anything on the wall. God does not write anymore on the wall. So you need to just trust the Lord, be open to what God has. And even though it is a way to increase your faith, you cannot say that the person has a lack of faith. This is the worst thing you can say to someone. We don't know the size, the strength, the height of people's faith. So we cannot say that, oh, because if you had enough faith, you'd be healed. Don't say that ever. Just be there for the person. Teach them what you can on the Lord, how he is, how he works in mysterious way, and thing that you see in the scripture. Be there to pray for them and to encourage them to trust in the Lord, but be very careful. Do not let your mind race and rush and try to explain. We do not have to explain what God is doing. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May he bless your week ahead, bless your life, bless your family. May he keep you strong and healthy and safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.